Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. I will make a decision after careful deliberation. That quote is the latest word from acting Boston Mayor Kim Janey following a closed hearing today over embattled Police Commissioner Dennis White's future. He's been on leave since February as the city investigated domestic violence allegations against him. Boston awaits Janey's decision, and we know mayors, police departments, cities across the country will be watching. Dennis White's legal defense team, meanwhile, has been on the offensive, releasing videos from him, his daughter, and his ex-sister-in-law, alleging that it was his ex-wife who was the aggressor, against both White and their daughter. Now, listeners, a warning, this segment includes discussion of domestic violence, and some of what you will hear is troubling. WBUR's Allie Jar Manning has been following this story from the beginning, joins us again now. Allie, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So, Allie, you've been following this story, and today you actually spoke to Commissioner White's ex-wife. She's not made public statements since the controversy started. What did she say to you?
Yeah, I spoke to Sybil Mason over the phone for about an hour and a half today, and though she wouldn't go on tape. And I should say, WBUR doesn't generally name victims of alleged victims of domestic violence, but Mason said she decided today to speak publicly because of what she said were lies from her daughter, sister, and ex-husband. And Mason says she and Dennis White had a toxic relationship that was marred by cheating and fights over that cheating. She says she'd confront her husband about his infidelities, and then that would lead to a physical fight, and she would defend herself. She told me, quote, "Did I fight Dennis back? Yes, the hell I did. Was I a fighter? Yes. Did I throw the first blow? No." She says before now, all the abuse was really swept under the rug, but she says it happened.
Now, the outside investigators report released by the city in May, detailed some of the alleged abuse against Mason. Is that correct?
Yeah. So just as a reminder to listeners, the city hired an outside investigator after the Boston Globe reported on a restraining order Mason took out against White in 1999. White had allegedly told a mutual friend he wanted to shoot Mason and a man he thought she was having an affair with. That investigator also uncovered a 1993 incident where White allegedly hit his 19-year-old niece. White has denied that he did anything wrong, and the department back then cleared him of wrongdoing. But the investigator also reported that multiple witnesses claimed Mason suffered physical and verbal abuse and that she'd fight back against White. And this tracks with what Mason told me today. She said White would coerce her into sexual situations she wouldn't otherwise go along with. She said one time he disabled her car so she couldn't leave the house. Mason told me, quote, "Everybody thinks abuse is only about hitting. I went through a lot of emotional abuse too."
Okay, now she changed course and decided to speak up because White's lawyers released some video testimony. Tell us more about that.
Right. So over the last few days, White's legal team released hours of video from White, his daughter Tiffany, and Mason's sister. And they all defend White and lay the blame squarely on Mason. Tiffany White, she's 39 now, told her dad's attorney that her mother called her fat and lazy and would hit her when she didn't do things like clean fast enough.
She, like, full force punched me dead in my back just because I was doing dishes slow.
And that knocked the wind out of you.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
When I asked Mason about this today, she says she disciplined her daughter and she says she spanked her and was hard on her and was stern, but she says that wasn't abuse. She says Dennis White did the same with their daughters. Dennis White, in his own video testimony, said his daughter was the victim and has been hurt by all the media attention around his suspension.
Domestic violence, I take very seriously, especially when it affected my family, my daughter. So, again, this is very shocking to me.
Some stunning back and forth here, Allie. How is White's legal team responding to Mason's claims today?
So they point to a statement that she made to the police and the court in 1999 when she said there was no physical abuse in their relationship. And they say as a police officer at the time and now, she was duty-bound to tell the truth. And they say her statements to me are unsworn, unlike the sworn testimony White, his daughter, and her sister made.
So anything else that strikes you specifically from your conversation with Sybil Mason?
Yeah, so she's also a police officer, and she's worked with her ex-husband for more than 20 years and has watched him rise through the ranks. And she told me about watching him get sworn in as police commissioner on February 1st. And she said she gave him a silent congratulations and just switched the TV off. And it was only 2 days later that her phone blew up with calls and messages after he was put on leave. And since then, she says it's been stressful and upsetting to have to relive that bad relationship from back then. She says she tried to put this behind her and forget what happened, but it's really been impossible, especially now that White is defending himself by saying she was the aggressor. And I asked her if she thought White should keep his job. She said now, after watching him fight the charges and how he's fighting them, she doesn't think he should. She thinks he should admit what he did back then, that it was wrong, and that he's changed. She said neither of them were innocent in the relationship. She said to me, quote, if Dennis can own up to what happened, I can own up to what happened.
Okay, now with that, let's talk about today's hearing. Remind us how we got here, what today's hearing was about.
Yeah, so this hearing today was a requirement for the mayor to fire the police commissioner. It's in city charter. And the hearing was supposed to happen back on May 14th. That's when the city released the outside investigators report. But White sued to stop his firing. He said it was illegal, and he wanted a name-clearing, trial-like hearing where he could cross-examine the city's witnesses. Multiple judges rejected that, and the city refused to make the hearing public like White wanted, so it happened behind closed doors today.
And so now Janie's saying, I'll make a decision after careful deliberation. Any idea when to expect that decision?
Yeah, it's unclear. In prior, Janie has indicated the city needs to move forward and needs to remove White for the city to move forward, but it's not really clear when that will happen.
And once Janie makes her decision, Allie, is that the end? Or is there still more to come? You know, when does this close?
Yeah, I mean, I think if White is fired, there is a very good chance that he files a lawsuit against the city. His attorney said during a prior court hearing that he planned to file a civil rights suit. So even if this all ends with White being out of a job, it's not really going to be over.
All right, WBUR's Allie Jarmanning, a lot there. Thank you for sharing with us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, listening in on that was Boston Globe columnist Adrian Walker, who's been covering the city for more than 20 years. Adrian, welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So you have been following this closely, Adrian. You've written three columns about it just in the last couple of weeks. Let me just start by your reactions to the new information we heard there from Allie Jarmanning.
Well, it's very interesting that Mason has decided to come forward and comment after several weeks of not commenting. And I certainly am sympathetic to the idea that, you know, both sides have been at fault here and that there's a lot that's gone on that has not yet come to light. So
Adrian, there are two layers of things happening here. This dispute, real allegations of domestic abuse, a back and forth between a married couple, and then the question of firing a police commissioner in a political season. How do we,
yes.
I mean, this is tough stuff. How do we comb all of that out? What's the priority? What do we pay attention to? How are you thinking about it?
Well, let's start with the whole issue of what happens to White as a police commissioner. The acting mayor has said today that essentially that she's taking it under advisement. But of course, she picked his successor, Superintendent Nora Bastin, weeks ago. So I think we know where this deliberation is headed. It's hard to picture at this point that Dennis White is going to walk into police headquarters any day soon and, you know, sit behind the desk as police commissioner. So I think one way or another, he will leave. And, as Allie Jarmanning just suggested, I think there will probably be a lawsuit after that. But there's a whole other question here of what happens with policing reform more generally, which the acting mayor has called for, and how that gets pursued again in this political season.
Adrian, there have also been some critics have accused acting mayor Kim Janey and the city of treating Dennis White differently, even under the context of these allegations, because he's black. Of course, acting Boston Mayor Kim Janey is the first black mayor of the city as well. How do we situate the question of race and his treatment inside the police department and by the city in this larger context?
I mean, it's hard for me to see how he's been treated differently because he's black. I mean, if you think about what's happened since these allegations were first reported by the Globe, I don't think there was any real alternative to putting him on leave and investigating them. And the report by Attorney Kaplan, who was hired by the city as outside counsel to investigate, was really damning. So, you know, I don't know really what the options have been. I mean, before Samson Kaplan's report came out, there was a lot of talk, because White does have significant community support, or did, that, you know, these are just allegations. But they are really, really serious allegations. And I think I think Mayor Janey was right in feeling that, you know, you can't just move forward.
Not to undermine the seriousness of the allegations at all, but we are also talking about this in a political context. And I want to turn there now. Acting Mayor Kim Janey is running for election to a full term as mayor. She has several challengers in that race. What are all the issues that she's facing now as she deliberates what to do with Boston Police Commissioner Dennis White?
Well, let me talk about a couple of things that I don't think should happen. I think she should appoint an interim commissioner and not attempt to appoint a permanent commissioner. Also, a couple of weeks ago, she talked about appointing a commission to look into reimagining policing, which was sort of a cover for appointing a search committee. I don't think she should do that either. I think she should appoint an interim commissioner and leave the search in its entirety to whoever wins the election in November. I think that's really, really important, because it's the most important decision, or one of the most important decisions, an incoming mayor makes, and she should not make it for whoever wins the election or assume that she's going to win. And I offer as a parallel, I mean, you only have to go back to 2013 when Mayor Menino was leaving and Ed Davis resigned, and he appointed Gilly Evans, you know, interim commissioner, and said it's the next mayor's decision. And I think that's the model that should be followed now. Absolutely.
Of course, what's striking about that is that now Labor Secretary Marty Walsh, while he was still mayor, made this appointment knowing that if he got confirmed, he was handing it off to an acting mayor and then a new mayor. So how does that affect how you evaluate Marty Walsh's involvement and steps in this, especially as allegations go back and forth about what
bad.
He knew?
Yeah, no, all of it was bad. I mean, there's a long-established process here, which that you establish a search committee, you do a real search, you do a deliberate search, and then you appoint the best person as commissioner. Walsh appointed three commissioners with no process at all, and I think that's a terrible precedent, and one that I certainly hope Acting Mayor Janey will not follow. As for Secretary Walsh, I mean, this is the worst way to go out that you can think of, practically. I mean, it was his last major decision, and he completely botched it. First of all, either he knew what was in White's record, or he certainly should have known. You know, there are basic questions about due diligence. There are questions about rushing to a decision, and there's the whole question of whether he should have appointed a permanent commissioner, because White was never acting. White was going to be the permanent commissioner, and whether he should have appointed a permanent commissioner on his way out the door. I mean, I think everything about the way he handled it was the opposite of how it should have been done.
And what do you think the city eventually should look for in a new commissioner, Adrian?
You know, I think there is a real appetite for a rethink in this moment of rethinking how policing works. They need to think about somebody who has been an innovator in police work. I would like to see somebody with really significant management experience. And I don't think it matters whether the person comes from inside or outside either. I don't think anyone should be shy about the idea that the next great commissioner might be working somewhere else right now.
And in the short term, what are you going to pay most attention to?
I mean, in the short term, what you need is a commissioner who can simply, you know, manage the department through what has become an incredibly tumultuous time. I mean, you know, the next few months in that office as police commissioner are not going to be easy. So someone who can address the morale issues, something like this causes, and the operational issues of, you know, being rudderless for months, you know, that will be the agenda for the interim commissioner.
That's Adrian Walker, columnist for the Boston Globe. Adrian, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much.